And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is what you don't know can hurt you. All three of my guests know something that changes the way we believe of the world. My first guest is a financial guru. He told us about a little publicized investment vehicle called Preferred Stocks and how they can help us make money. My second guest was the new CEO of the Ventura Chamber of Commerce, and she told us how we can take advantage of what the chamber has to offer. My next guest is a TV star of NBC's Little House on the Prairie who is so vilified that she couldn't walk down the street without somebody commenting on how nasty her character was. The truth is, however, that she's a nice person, and we're going to get to know her right now. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Alice Arngrim starred in the scheming Nellie Olson for 7 years on the iconic TV series Little House on the Prairie. She also guest starred on a number of other shows like The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, etc., etc. Allison now performs stand-up comedy in her one-woman show Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, and it's become a nationwide phenomenon. Since Allison's friend on Little House of the Prairie and also co-star Steve Tracy passed away due to complications of AIDS and HIV back in 1996, Allison has done extensive advocacy work on behalf of HIV awareness and also for abused children. Allison lives with her husband in Los Angeles, and her new book is titled Confession of a Prairie Bitch. Welcome to the show, Allison. How are you today?
Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. Thanks so much. Let's go back. Let's start at the beginning, shall we? You come from a show business family. Your father, Thor, was a Hollywood talent manager to such stars as Liberace. Your mom was a voiceover, and many of my listeners will recognize her voice as Casper the Friendly Ghost, Gumby, or Davy of Davy and Goliath. What was it like growing up in a show business household?
Well, I thought, of course, that it was completely normal. I swear, I think I thought everyone was on TV until I was like 7 years old. Well, all our friends were. I turned on the TV, and it was all people we knew. So I thought, oh, everybody's on television. I didn't know that it was like only 1% of the Earth's population ever got near the thing. It was normal. You know, my parents had started in the theater. My father had been an actor and news and management. My mother was an actress. And pretty much everyone we knew did something. So for me to go to work at 6 years old and start getting commercials, I was like, well, isn't this what people do?
So it was just following in the family tradition. Mm-hmm. That's all you were doing. That makes a lot of sense. How did you land the role of Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie?
Well, through auditioning. I've been working off and on since I was six. In fact, the funny thing was right before I got Little House, my father actually sat me down, told me I wasn't getting very much work, that, you know, maybe I was a has-been. I was washed up at 11. I'd have to start again at 18. Because I'd only gotten in one film, a couple of commercials, and an episode. Like, I hadn't really broken through yet at 11.
Oh, my.
And, luckily, I got Little House the next week. But I actually weirdly read for the part of Laura, and then for the part of Mary. It was sort of like the search for Scarlett O'Hara for 8-year-olds. Everybody wanted to be Laura. So I read for Laura and for Mary, and luckily did not get those, and came back the next week to read for Nellie. So.
Now, you say luckily, because this has been a two-edged sword for you. Why did you like the character of Nellie, say, more than the lead character, Laura?
Oh, well, I'd always sort of liked villains. And now, of course, as an adult, I realize, yes, the villains are often the much more interesting and exciting character. For me, I was a real city girl, and the idea of being the sweet goody-two-shoes country girl like Laura Mary, I knew was just not going to work at all. And I preferred Nellie was much more outrageous and funny. She was also the comic relief, which really, you know, I could relate to much more. But definitely as an adult, it's you know, being the pretty one or the cute one or the sweet one, that only lasts a limited amount of time in Hollywood. Being rotten lasts forever. Being the comic relief lasts forever. You can do that for the rest of your life.
Well, as you found out once you took that role, I mean, you were very good in the role, but you were so vilified that people would come up to you on the street and they would tell you how rotten your character was. Now, looking at it objectively, I would say, wow, that is really great acting, because the people can't separate the actress from the character. But for you growing up as a young woman, that had to be difficult, if not traumatic. How did you handle that?
Well, that's the thing. It's you say there's a price for playing a villain. What there is there's a price for playing a villain right.
Yeah,
you
true.
You really do it well. People freak out and react on a very basic, visceral, emotional level, which is what happened with Nellie. And I still meet people who tell nightmares about you. But yeah, I was in the Christmas parade. Some guy threw an orange soda at my head. You know,
really?
That was made an impression.
I bet.
And the thing is I did, you know, there was the immediate reaction of, oh, my God. But then I did react like, well, wait a minute. What's going on in someone's head that they would do this? I was on TV, for God's sakes. What am I doing that is causing someone to lose all touch with reality to that point? And it did occur to me I was doing something good.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is if people can not separate you from the character. Now, you've had many amusing anecdotes. You just mentioned the orange soda at the Christmas parade. Mm-hmm. Any other comical times that came up where people identified with you so much as Nelly that they actually took after you?
Well, it's still happening. I mean, yeah, sure, the first personal appearances when I was a kid, you know, people wanted to beat me up. But the thing is as a grown woman, just a few years ago, I was at an autograph show in L.A., and this grown woman in her 40s walks in. I talk about it in the book. She walked right up to the table. She didn't ask for an autograph. She did not even say hello or good morning. She looked at me, just seething with rage, stared at me, and then said, I forgive you, and walked out of the room. She's a grown person in the 21st century.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, it's so good that she had it in her heart to forgive you.
I think that was really good of her to forgive me for the actions of a fictitious character I played 30 years ago.
Exactly. We're talking to Alison Arngrim, everybody. Her new book is Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, How I Survived Nellie Olson and Learned to Love Being Hated. And that's really the crux of it, isn't it? Because you were so good at the role, people started to really not be able to separate you from your character. Now, on set must have been very interesting because you were working with people who have now become household names, Melissa Gilbert,
yeah,
Michael Landon, Melissa Sue Anderson, just to name a few. But your best friend on the show, and I guess a good friend today, is Melissa Gilbert, who played the role of Laura Ingalls on the show.
It's so funny. We're literally tweeting and texting each other right now.
As you speak?
She just now, because I had texted her because we were all talking on Twitter. Her husband, Bruce Boxleitner, was just on TV last night on, what the heck, I can't remember, NCIS. He was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. And so we were all tweeting about that. Your husband's really cute on TV last night. And talking about, you know, we're all doing our books. We're all doing our next books. And so I was ragging on her and messaging her, and I just got a text saying, I was in the middle of meeting with my editors when you texted and they screeched when I said it was you. And I just texted back, awesome.
Well, big shout out and a big tweet to Melissa.
Nellie Olson, it's true.
Oh, that is great. Now, how did you guys click? I mean, on stage, that could have gone any number of different ways. It could have been rivals on stage or off stage. But you guys really clicked. What is it about Melissa that really draws you towards her? And kind of how would you characterize your friendship?
Well, it's true. It's a wonder we didn't have to be separated because you had two very young girls who, you know, and the whole competition with the stage mothers and putting all of us kids. It's true. They really do. It's being a child actor is like being a dog in a pit bull fight. The stage parents and managers are always going, ah! I get there. And so we could have gone wrong, and here you've got two girls who are being asked to be physically violent to one another in the show. We're hitting each other and throwing things. Could have gotten pretty ugly. But when we met, you know, Melissa Gilbert is aggressively friendly.
Aggressively.
She did. She just marched in like, hi, my name is Melissa, telling me everything's going on. And, you know, it's terrible to say. She was spunky like Laura Ingalls. But, oh, she is. It's drive you crazy. We hit it off. We were both, she's from a showbiz family as well, her
father,
the actor Paul Gilbert. So we were both these little girls from these crazy showbiz families on this show, and we both felt the intense pressure and sort of lost in the giant system. So it was kind of like in the lifeboat, like, well, what do you want to do? I think, you know, if we swim this way, we can make a break for it. And we totally bonded, which really worked, because here we were having to beat each other senseless. So now we were able to choreograph our fight scenes. This way nobody got hurt. I mean, it was fabulous.
Oh, no, that is. And you tell some amazingly amusing stories in your book. One of them is the story about how Melissa accidentally got drunk on some rum cakes at 7-Eleven. What is that story?
Well, the little thing, and of course, it's terrible now, because, you know, now she talks about the fact that she doesn't drink at all. About having an alcoholism issues. And she's the spokeswoman for, like, drugfree.org. So it's like, oops. But she's not, it was all your fault. We were really little. We were, you know, down at the 7-Eleven, we used to go for Slurpees after work, like you'd go for a martini. But in the 70s, they came out with these little rum baba cakes, and everyone went, oh, isn't that cute? It's rum flavoring. They were selling them over the counter. What nobody realized is no, it was actual rum babas. It was like 40 proof. It was actual rum in the cake.
Mm.
And kids across America discovered this very quickly. They were off the market within a couple of weeks. Some, you know, third grader got drunk at the lunch table, and I was like, ah! But we discovered this before anyone else had, and I was like, no, really, here, eat one. They were, so, of course, we're scarfing these in the parking lot, and no one has a clue what we're doing. We're falling over, but this is real booze in it. We thought this was dreadfully decadent at, you know, 11 and 13.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're talking to Allison Arngrim, everybody, who played Nellie Olson on the show Little House on the Prairie. And Allison, I'm going to ask you to let us peek behind the curtain a little bit, what it was like working on the stage with these actors and actresses. Give us some of the inside skinny on what it was like working with Michael Landon.
Well, Michael Landon, one of the funniest people I ever worked with. This man, you know, so his image of being a Charles Ingalls and the farmer and then this and the that, when he was this mad scientist of episodic TV, this madman producer, director, writer, driving his Ferrari with his sunglasses, drinking, smoking, going to the Playboy Jazz Festival, three wives, you know. Yet at the same time, he was all about the ethics of hard work and having a strong work ethic and doing the right thing. And he had such respect for all of the child actors. We weren't treated like little trained animals, as many child actors, frankly, are. Mm. We weren't treated like we were stupid. We were expected to be accountable and know what we were doing and put in a real performance and held to a much higher standard than a lot of kids in a lot of shows.
Mm.
And he was very kind to us, and he would also absolutely drop anything he was doing for practical jokes or any kind of horrendous, ghastly, gross-out humor, pull my finger, oy vey. The guy was out of his mind.
All right, well, that's a completely different picture than many of us have about Michael Landon. Let me ask you about Melissa Sue Anderson. A little controversial.
Melissa Sue. I swear, one of these days it's all going to work out. We're going to be friends. One day. We may be very old. We keep trying it. We're constantly, the two of us are still at cross purposes nearly 40 years later. She came from a non-showbiz family and apparently had a very sheltered background. And I don't know, as I said, child stars, the parents are pitting them against each other. I don't know what her mother told her, but she didn't want anything to do with me and Melissa Gilbert.
Hmm, interesting.
And it was very strange because here was, they were playing sisters, for God's sakes. And, you know, in the entire 7 years, I mean, she never came to my house or anything. I don't even know where she lived.
Wow.
And we, you know, very, you know, you'd be polite on the set. You couldn't haul off and start screaming at people. They'd just fire you. They'd fire both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a level of decorum on the set. But it was weird because, and I think it really stood up because Melissa Gilbert and I were so close. We're constantly each other's houses. And perhaps Melissa Sue Anderson was jealous of that relationship. We don't know quite what happened because, you know, we were 12. Nobody was talking.
Right.
And so she wasn't going to tell me. So she wound up coming off as this total, like, homecoming queen diva case who didn't want anything to do with the juvenile delinquents, me and Melissa Gilbert. Of course, as my husband said, you two were juvenile delinquents. Maybe she had a point. And now, even to this day, the three of us all have our books out, and it's this still this the three girls in competition of who's selling more books and who's getting better press. And she's still throwing a tantrum that I talk about her. So
we're talking.
We're still at it.
Years later. Amazing. We're talking to Allison Arngrim, everybody. Her latest book is Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, How I Survived Nellie Olson and Learned to Love Being Hated. And Allison, in everything we do, it's very clear your sense of humor coming through. I mean, you are a jokester through and through. And you've been touring doing a one-woman show and stand-up comedy. That's kind of a departure from a TV drama actress. How do you reinvent yourself as a comedian?
You know, nowadays we see people on TV shows and they're doing movies, they're doing albums, they're doing music, they're doing comedy, and we take that in stride. You know, back in the 70s, you were supposed to do one thing. I mean, it was a big deal if somebody sang as well as acted on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I started doing stand-up very early, and I think that really is more my true nature, you know. And so I began becoming a comedian as a teenager. I had a lot of friends. My father was managing other stand-up comics. And so I still do it now, but now it's really morphed into this fabulous one-woman show where I get to tell real stories, completely insane real stories, but real stories from my very crazy life. And it's really become quite the hit. I just got back from 6 shows in Boston, and I got 2 in Knoxville, Tennessee in December. And I did. I also do the show now in French. It's an adaptation. It's a completely different show. But I have another Confessions of a Prairie Bitch show I do completely in French. I just did 4 sold out, mind you, shows in France.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you brought it up. Because outside of the United States, you're equally well known as you are here inside of the United States, but you're not as vilified outside the United States. The French love you. What, if you'll pardon the pun, is the French connection?
Well, you know the French. You know, as I always say, they don't think Nelly Olson's mean. They think she's French. they love that. And they've admitted, if I've asked French people, come on. They go, yeah, you know, we like the bitchy characters. We're French. We can't help it. We love, they refer to Mrs. Olsen as La Belle Harriet. They think Mrs. Olsen and Nellie are a riot. They turn on this American show and they crack up. They go, where'd you get the two bitchy girls? Okay. They also love Little House. They really revere it in France. I don't know. They see it as some, you know, poor family in the countryside in France trying to make a living. They love Charles Ingle. Charles. They think Michael Landon's the most gorgeous thing ever, and they're just there chopping wood all day. They love it. It's a romantic show. People cry all the time. It's very emotional. And it's one of those fluke things where it went to reruns, and it's just kind of been on every single day at noon in France for like the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole country's obsessed.
Well, you are.
And I found out all these French people love me. It was absolutely the kookiest thing ever. I go all the time now.
Well, you are a big star on Canal Plus, which is one of their big pay-for channels. So, Congratulations for you to you for that. Now, I want to change just for a second, change the mood here, and talk a little bit about your political and social activism in regards to AIDS-related causes. Now, I know that's a big thing for you. Tell us a little bit about that and what you're doing now.
Well, indeed. Steve Tracy, who played Percival on the show, Percival Dalton, Nellie's husband, he went public with his AIDS diagnosis back in 86 when nobody was talking about this stuff. And it was pretty traumatic for everybody. And so I started volunteering for different AIDS organizations trying to help him, and then realized that most people had it even worse off than he did. I mean, he at least had a family and friends who stood by him. Many people with AIDS, certainly in the 80s, did not.
Right.
So I started volunteering, and I still am. I mean, I was just visiting a drop-in center in Boston while I was there, and I, you know, go to a lot of different cities where they maybe don't get celebrities doing their fundraisers and whatnot, and try to help these smaller organizations. Because that's the thing, is a lot of people don't see it as the threat it was, because there are some drugs that sort of kind of work on some people. People see it as cured.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is as fabulous as the AIDS cocktail may be, it actually doesn't work on every patient.
That's right.
And it works for a limited amount of time, and people are still deathly ill, and people are still dying, and there's new infections every day. It's nuts.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm still fighting the uphill battle on that one.
Well, in fact, you are. I mean, between 12 and 19,000 people die each year of AIDS, HIV. So that's a very serious epidemic still.
New infections. And the scary thing is, when we talk about like teenagers and young people, I can't tell you how many times I get calls where I hear about someone I know is 30, 40 years old, grown man. Oh, I just got infected. What, you didn't know? And that's the thing. There's terrible new infections amongst people even in their 30s and 40s because there's a complacency that's set in. It's terrible.
Yeah, very true. We're talking to Alison Arngrim, everybody. Her latest book is Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, How I Survived Nellie Olson and Learned to Love Being Hated. Alison, if people are interested in finding out more about the book or finding out more about what you're currently doing, where would you direct them to go?
Well, I have a fabulous website at hgd.com/Alison. That's the official Alison website. I'm constantly on the Facebook and the Twitter. You can follow me on the Twitter graph, as Laura Ingalls will call it. And I'm at Arngrim. And then please also do take time to visit protect.org. That's where my activism, where I'm fighting for children's rights in the legal and legislative arena is. We've gotten a lot of laws passed. We've got legislation pending in D.C. to really better protect children from predators.
That's great. We're going to have to leave it there, Alison.
Okay,
thanks so much for being my guest.